Well, I want you to go and take your seat and go with me to Romans in the first chapter. And let's talk about this wonderful message, good news from an empty tomb. A lot of people don't realize what's taken place. There's probably not a person in here and hadn't heard about Jesus, hadn't heard about the birthday of Christmas, hadn't heard about the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You already know that. And I believe that without a shadow of a doubt, a lot of times we miss the focus of what this is all about. So let me talk to you just for a moment. It's wonderful that Jesus loved you and me so much that he went to the cross, died for each and every one of us, and took our sins for those that will receive him as Lord. It's wonderful that his blood washes away all the iniquities in our life. It's wonderful that he did a great, phenomenal, marvelous thing. It's wonderful that he's raised from the dead and the tomb is empty. But did you know this is not just about Jesus, even though as wonderful as it is? It's really all about you. And in case you didn't know this, it's really all about you. Without you, there would have been no crucifixion. Without you, there would have been no resurrection. Without you, Jesus would not have been seated at the right hand of the Father. How great that is. It's really all about you. And a lot of times when we come into a church service about Easter, we literally forget about what this is all about. That he loved you and loved me so much, saw past all of our frailties and sins, that he went to the cross and died on that cross. But the most important thing, he did it for a reason. A reason for you. In order for you to live that more abundant life that Jesus spoke in John 10:10. He says, I have come to give you life and give it more, finish it, abundantly. And that abundant life waits for you as you apply the truth of an empty tomb. Each and every day you're going to be resisted. Each and every day there's going to be problems. Each and every day there's going to be frustrations. Each and every day there's going to be hardships. Life is going to deal out stuff that you're not going to like. Life is going to take place and it's going to be at times discouraging to you. Life is going to be contrary to what you want it to be. Life is going to be difficult at times for every single one of us in here. And we have got to remember every single day that the tomb is empty. And it's empty for a reason. I don't want to be rude and I don't want to be mean. And I don't want to say things that are out of place. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Buddha's tomb is still full. He's not God. Mohammed is not God. His tomb is still full. I don't care what anybody says. Jesus Christ is the only one that raised from the dead. And his tomb is empty. Proven that he is the Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. That's Jesus. And that's why we're here in this service. But I want to teach you something not only about Jesus, but I want to teach you something about you. So that you can walk out of here today and know assuredly that you have a future, you have a destiny, you have a hope. God cares about you. There is a plan, and God wants to work that plan through your life, which gives your life purpose and meaning. And a lot of people don't know that. They just think they're here existing. They just think they get by. They just think they barely make it. They just think they're part of a system. When in fact, Jesus Christ, if you were the only person on the planet, would have died for you and raised from the dead, and the tomb would have been empty for you if you were the only person on this planet. That's the way it is, but it's about you. Let's take a look at it for just a moment as we look at Romans, the first chapter, verse number 4. In fact, let's start with verse number 3. I'll read it to you. Let's follow in the Word of God. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Isn't it nice to know that God was all man and all God? Jesus is all man, all God for a reason. He knew what it was like to be all God. Now he had to come to this planet to know what it's like and to feel what you feel and to express what you express, to feel the rejection, to feel the hurt, to feel the pain. He's a high priest that you have that is not ignorant of your feelings. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He's not so far out of touch that he doesn't know where you're at. He's all man and he's all God. And that's what the verse is saying. But verse number 4, talking about Jesus, says these words, listen to this, and declared to be the Son of God with power. In other words, somebody's got to declare who he is. You can say somebody is something, doesn't make it something. Words are cheap. Have you ever noticed many people make promises to you from time to time and they don't keep their promises? Why? Words are cheap. Don't just tell me the promise, show me something that backs the promise. Here, God the Father is going to back who the Son, Jesus Christ, really is. And he is declared by God the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit, listen to me, to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. The same Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, the same Holy Spirit that raises Jesus from the dead is with us today. Man, that's wild. And he declares this not by leaving him in the tomb, he declares it by getting him out of the tomb, by the resurrection from the dead. So here's Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit for you and for me. Let's see how that works and how we're brought into this picture and how important it is. We read it a little bit earlier when we were worshiping God during the worship session, but let me take you to Ephesians in the first chapter. Go there with me in your Bible. Ephesians, the first chapter. In verse, if you will, in verse, I'm going to read to you and I'm going to explain. So don't let your minds wander. Let's listen. Is that okay? Follow me and you will get blessed. Daydream and you will walk out of here with nothing. And you're going to be here anyway. Nobody's letting you out. The ushers will break your arms and legs and then say happy Easter to you afterwards. So stay seated and listen closely. We're talking about Jesus, who's declared to be the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit as he was raised from the dead for a reason. And the reason is you. Wait a minute. If the reason's you, then you have got to be pretty valuable to God. Wait a minute. Let me say that again. If the reason is you, then you have got to be pretty valuable to God. You can look at yourself in the mirror and say, well, I don't have anything. I'm not smart. I'm not pretty. I'm not handsome. I'm this and I'm that and I never get along. My family's never been anything. We've been a whole bunch of losers in our lives. We've never done anything but make bad decisions in our life. Most likely that's the way I'm going to be too. Let me tell you something. You ought to stop thinking that, because here's the reason. The highest price that could ever be paid for was paid for you. That makes you the most valuable commodity on the planet. Is anybody listening? God didn't pay for you with gold, silver, precious stones, diamonds, rubies. He didn't take a planet or two out of a galaxy and say, here, I'll give you this for the souls of man. Jesus Christ comes himself. I don't care who tells you you're ugly. I don't tell who tells you you can't make it. I don't care who says you're a loser. I don't care how many exes sue you in court. I want you to know something and call your names when they walk out. I'm here to tell you something. You're the most valuable commodity on the planet. And there's a reason you are. Because you fit into this great plan of God. Can you imagine such a thing? that you fit into this great plan of God. Now, you don't have to fit into it if you don't want to. You can just go ahead and leave your life, live it the way you want to live it. You can do what you think is right. You can keep on going your way. You can follow society or social system or the majority of people who say this is the way life ought to be. Or you can start to live life knowing that you are a valuable commodity to God, and God has a plan for you. And the fact that he loves you so much and he's proven to be the Son of God means he is not a liar, and everything he said is going to come to pass. So now we look at Ephesians. I'll start reading in verse number 19. And what is, speaking of the inheritance of the saints, the inheritance you and I have, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? In other words, there is an not just greatness, not just power, but my Bible says, have you ever thought about that? Exceeding greatness of his power. Not just greatness, not just power, but exceeding. I don't know. When you get to exceeding greatness, that must mean something that's great, but this is far beyond even that which you think is great. Of his power towards us who believe. When you are a believer, the whole world changes for you if you let it change you. Let me say it again. When you're a believer, the whole world can change for you if you let it change you. Are you following what I'm saying? A person came into me not too long ago, have very bad habit. Most churches wouldn't even allow this particular person in church. She said these words to me. What do you think? I said, well, here's the issue. You're very welcome in church. I said, if I have bad habits, I at least come to church with the idea in mind that I want God to change me. I'm not coming here to influence you about my bad habits, nor do I want your bad habits to influence me. I come to church and come to God because I want God to change me, whether I think my bad habit is a good habit or not. If it's a bad habit to God, then I want God to change me. Are you welcome? Yes, but you got to be willing to change. And you don't change to be what I am. We change to be what he is. Are you following me? I don't want you to be like me. Are you kidding me? We're in a mess if you're like me. We all need to be like him. Are you following me now? So here he comes along. He says it's exceeding power according to the working of his exceeding greatness of his power towards those who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of in heavenly places. Far above, now he starts to talk about the positioning of Christ. Far above principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named. In other words, Jesus is above every demon in hell. Every problem you have, everything that's called over you, Jesus is ahead of all of it. He's not inferior to it. He's ahead and superior of it. He says, far above principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he puts all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And then he goes on, see the word to the church? In other words, he puts everything under his feet. Watch this. And he gave him to be the head. If he's the head, you're the what? Body. Guess what? Watch this. Over all things to the church. Verse 23 starts right off in verse number 23 with this statement, which is his body. Now let me tell you something. When he went to the cross, he knew exactly what he was doing. He was getting his body on earth ready to take the authority and dominion that God had given him there to carry it to a lost and dying world. He says, which is his body. I should have highlighted the words body. So Jesus is the head, we're his body, and all things, look at me now, all things are put under our feet. Because he's the head, we're the body. You have a problem? Tell me what problem's bigger than Jesus. You have a situation? Tell me what situation's bigger than Jesus. You have something you don't know how to get the job done on? Tell me what's greater than the power of grace. God makes it all work. So here he comes along on that cross at Calvary. That same power that raised him from the dead now brings the body into play. That's you and that's me, and all things are underneath his feet. And then it says the fullness of him. Notice the capital H. Speaking of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Did you know that you're the fullness of him on the planet? You are the distributors of his goodness. You're the distributors of his faith. You're his mouth. You're his shoulders. You're his heart. You're his legs. You're his arms. We're here to do something, and we're called by God to do it. We're not here just to sit around and do nothing. We're called by God to do something. That's pretty powerful. But then chapter 2, verse 1 comes along, and I love chapter 2. I just had to throw that in for you. Is that okay? Are you okay with me? Are you all right? So here's a progression. Jesus goes to the cross. He dies. He's buried. He's raised from the dead. The tomb is empty. All for a reason, to bring you into the picture. When he brings you into the picture, you're the fullness of him. God's got a plan for your life. Let's see what kind of a plan he's got. Now he goes on in the very next chapter. Guess what? Verse number 1. And he says these words in chapter 2, verse number 1. And you he made alive. When Jesus raised from the dead and you received Christ, you are now alive, not dead. Watch this. You have made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. Dead in your trespasses and sins is just a nice way of saying you are dirty, rotten little suckers that are always sinning all the time. Somebody ought to give me an amen on that. This whole church is full of those kind of people. After all, this is San Bernardino. Can any good thing come out of San Bernardino? Oh, somebody ought to say, you bet something good can come out of San Bernardino when we know who we are in Christ Jesus. Makes all the difference in the world. I love this. He's made us alive who were dead in our trespasses and sin. Verse 2 and 3 comes along, tells us about how screwed up you and I were. Verse number 2 says this, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. In other words, the world told you what to do. According to the prince and power of the air, the devil told you what to do. The spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, that same foul spirit that controls those that are disobedient towards the things of God, used to control you. Now watch this, verse number 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. My goodness, we were a mess. I'm going to say that again, and if you were a mess, you got to give me an amen. I mean, wait a minute, before you give me the amen, you're so excited about giving me the amen, I haven't even said that. If you were a mess... Well, that's, I don't know what I said. But I like the first two words of verse 4, but God. You were a mess, didn't know how to get out of it, but God knew how. You couldn't make it, but God knew how. Now watch this. It's the same thing in your marriage. How's it going to work? But God. Same thing raising kids in this generation. But God. Same thing in the middle of a recession. I don't know how it's going to work. But God. Same thing with your job. But God. Same thing with dealing with relatives. I don't know how it's going to work. But God. So God brings you into the picture. Now I want to share something with you by taking you to 2 Peter real quick. Last verses. Are you ready with me? In 2 Peter, the first chapter. Starting in verse number 2. Now this is important for you to get how he brings you into the picture. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen. I could give you $1 billion. It's yours. Put it in a bank account somewhere. Not give you the access code to the $1 billion, and tomorrow, even though you have $1 billion, don't know how to access it, you will be as broke tomorrow as you are today. Did you hear me? In other words, God has done something. He's brought you into His family. He's brought you into His body. He's put all things in subjection to you. They're underneath your feet as well as underneath His feet, because He's the head, you're the body. Listen to these things. And He's bringing you into this plan. And now, it doesn't just happen because you're pretty. It happens because you now have access to it happening. Let me give it to you like this. Jesus sets you free so the truth can make you free. Jesus setting you free, without the truth, you'll never live in the freedom that God has for you. Are you listening? And so here I am in this place where I'm gotten blessed by God. I'm now part of His body. I'm free from all the sins and things that held me back. I've got God, and now I have got to access what it is He has for me. And He shares this with us, verse number 3. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, you may not have just read that and understood it. Grace and peace, which you live for all the days of your life, you work for. You can hardly wait to get some peace and rest. You want to retire and buy a motorhome, drive around the freeways, let people give you the finger as you're driving down the street because you're going too slow. You know you do, and you call that rest. You want to have that Social Security. You want to do all those kinds of things. But can I tell you something? It's multiplied onto you in the knowledge of God, of our Lord Jesus. Verse number 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If it's been given to me, then why don't I live in it? Why don't I have it? Why isn't it working with my children? Why isn't it in my family? Why isn't it in my marriage? He says, through the knowledge of Him. Let me say it like this, and it's so easy for you to understand. How much you know determines how far you go. You don't know anything. All you know is about Jesus. You got saved, you're headed for heaven, and you live like junk upon the planet. When Jesus said, I've come to give you more life and give it more abundantly, we live like we shouldn't live. Instead of being the body of Christ, blessed. Notice what it says, His divine power. Remember, that's the power that raised Him from the dead. Took nothing, made something out of it. His divine power has been given to us all things that pertain to life in God. Not some things, all things that pertain to life. All things, name it, all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's yours. It's that $1 billion check you don't know how to access. Then He tells you immediately how to access through the knowledge of Him who called us into the glory and virtue. In other words, He's called us in, but we don't know how to access it. The more you know about Him, the more you will access Him. The more you access Him, the more blessed your marriage, home, family, children, finances, dreams, vision. And it all comes with a guarantee of an empty tomb. Is anybody listening? Verse number 4 comes along and says, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Promises of God in 2 Corinthians 1:20 makes it very clear to all of us. His promises are yea and amen. In Christ Jesus. In other words, God's promise. When I have a problem and I don't know how I'm going to make it, the tomb is empty and the promises of God are yea and amen to me. I've got the promises of God. He says, in which you have given us exceeding great and precious promises. He gave us exceeding great and precious power that bring us to a place of understanding. We have exceeding great and precious promise. God wants to bless you. That through these, what? The knowledge of Him, you might be, and the promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. When you access it, you're the partaker of the divine nature. Here's my deal. Today, every day of your life, you need to remember the tomb is empty. You will have frustrations. You will have stuff coming at you you don't understand. You will want to give up. You will want to quit. You will want to back off. You will want to stop. You will want to put yourself down. You will want to feel inferior. But today, you are the most important plan to the will of God there is on this planet. You are the most valuable commodity on this planet. That the highest price that could ever be paid for anyone was paid for you, which makes you the most valuable commodity on the planet. He brings you into his body. There he gives you exceeding great promises. And he guarantees the promises by the power of an empty tomb in that he really is God. And let me tell you, he says all things that would be contrary to who you are put underneath your feet. You don't have to put up with it anymore. But in order for you to access the blessings that God has for you, you're going to have to learn how to put this word to work. Now, my warning to all of you is that you come to church once a year and expect to be a victorious Christian, you might get to heaven, but you'll have hell on earth before you get there. And somebody needs to love you enough, because if you don't know anything except who Jesus is instead of what you can accomplish in him, because my Bible says all things are possible to him that what? Believes. And you're going to have to believe. And the more you know, the more you will believe, the bigger your God, the bigger the vision, the bigger the accomplishment, the bigger the future, and what you thought you couldn't do with Jesus, you can do all things through him that strengthens you. I'm finished, and if God spoke to you, give him a great big praise the Lord.